Okay, I'm back. Let me just share my screen. I was logged out for a minute. Okay, praise the Lord. So this is us, one of IBS. This is how we look. So we are looking at God's purpose for the man. This is how amazing and awesome you are. Praise the Lord. Yes, this is how amazing and awesome you are. And we looked at the male's priority, the male's position, and the male's assignment. Praise the Lord. So these are the things that we looked at last time. And we ended on the male as a visionary and a leader. So my name is Robbie Makasa. And I am the president of IBS. I'm a mechatronics engineer. I'm a graphic designer. I'm an author. I'm a guitar instructor. And I am a teacher of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I'm not going to give you a recap because you can just go back to the podcast, right? Yeah. Okay. There we go. So this is where we were. And yeah, I believe this is where we left off, right? Okay, so now let's look at what else a man is. So even as we are learning tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to see there's a way that God created us to function. Praise the Lord. There's a way that God created us to do things. There's a way that God created us to function here on earth. Amen. So even as even as you are listening in tonight, I want you to understand why God created you. So we've been looking at purpose, and we realize that a purpose that is not known can easily be abused. Praise the Lord. So if you don't know why God created you, if you don't know why God placed you here on earth, it becomes very difficult for you to function in your calling. Amen. So we looked at man being a visionary and we looked at man being a leader. Tonight we are starting from man being a teacher. Praise the Lord. So sisters, even as you're listening in and you're trying to weigh how good your relationship is, you're looking at these qualities. Praise the Lord. Now I just want to say something. Just because maybe your partner is not doing all these things, it doesn't necessarily mean that you should end the relationship. What we are doing is that we are trying to help you understand how a man should function from the Bible. Praise the Lord. And we're trying to help you see how God created us, what God designed for us, so that even as you are getting into relationship, those of you who are single, and then those of you who are in relationships, you can look at it and say, oh, okay, this is something that I need to improve on. Even last week, when I talked about what I shared, some of the things we taught helped some of you learn about what it means to be a lady. And then for the gentleman, how you can help the lady become better. Praise the Lord. So even as you are listening in tonight, what you're doing is you are getting the message and you want to know how you can help people become better. So if you're a sister, and you're listening to this, you can help your brothers, you can help your nephews, you can help your sons, and then you can help your partner in the future. Praise the Lord if you're single. And if you're dating, you can help your partner now. Amen. So another thing you see is that a man has been called to be a teacher. The Bible says, do not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge. Oh, yeah. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. So this information, God didn't tell Eve. He told it to Adam. This is why I mentioned that when we're looking at who was at fault, who made the error, who made the problem, it's Adam, right? Because Adam is supposed to communicate God's ideas, God's vision, and God's purposes. Before Eve comes, there's already an instruction that's been given to Adam. Amen. When you're reading Genesis 2, verse 19, and I'm paraphrasing, the Bible says God brought the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. So you see a man who's properly functioning in his calling. And if his functioning is calling, it means that he's receiving instructions from God. You cannot function in your calling without getting instructed by God. Amen. So the first one to discover something is the one who's responsible to teach it to others. Praise the Lord. So by the time Eve is talking to God and saying, "Look, it's the serpent," by then Adam had already taught his wife, like, "Look, we are not meant to eat from that tree." Otherwise, how did she know that information? So it means that Adam must have taught her. Praise the Lord. So, as gentlemen, we are meant to teach the word of God. But you notice that in a lot of families, it's the women who've taken the role of teaching. It's the women who are more concerned about the children getting the word of God. It's the women who are more concerned about children going to church, but that's not how it's supposed to be. So, as a man, you lead by example. Praise the Lord. So, there you are in your relationship as a gentleman. Teach your partner the word of God. Amen. Your partner should be able to come to you and say, "Look, baby, I don't understand this. Can you teach me? Can you help me understand the scriptures? Can you help me understand what this means?" So you need to have a certain level of depth. This is why, as ladies, even as you're picking your partners, don't use physicality. I mention this all the time, because if you're using physicality to choose your partner, you can never know. It doesn't determine whether he's going to be a good partner just because he's hot and he's the it. Praise the Lord. He's got a certain type of body. And he's got a certain type of voice. He's got an accent. Yes, I'm getting there. Praise the Lord. Right this moment, we are going to talk about it, because these are the choices that we make all the time. Oh, he looks good. There's a way he looks. There's a way he smells. Oh my goodness. When that man passes by me, oh my goodness, he smells so good. And then the sister is even biting her lower lip because a gentleman walked past. We know these things. You see what I mean? We know what happens. We see. Praise the Lord. So this doesn't mean, gentlemen, that you should be dirty. No, please look good, smell good, and be fresh. Amen. But even as you are being fresh, be able to teach the word of God, because you are giving somebody instructions. Somebody is following you. You should be able to teach them, because how are you going to lead the family if you cannot teach somebody the word of God? What do you do in your relationships? This is a question for all of you who are dating. What do you do in your relationships? How do you solve problems? If there's an issue, do you take time to say, "Oh, let's pray and fast about this"? Amen. Let's pray. Let's spend some time in the Word. No, the Bible says this is what the Word of God says. It's not for pastors, it's for every person who's a believer. The Word of God, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. Not pastors, not leaders, not deacons, not ministers. It says man. So every one of us here that's listening to me, the Bible says that you are meant to hear the Word of God. Oh, yeah. You function by the word. But if we say this is just for certain people, there's an error. Because to begin with, why are you attracting? How come in all your relationships you attract bad boys? Maybe you just want a bad boy. You see, sometimes these things, you don't have to beat about the bush. Oh no, the thing is, how come it's always bad people that you are attracting, bad boys all the time? How come? You need to ask yourself like some serious questions, but a lot of times we refuse to do some self-introspection to know what is it about me that makes me attract the wrong kinds of people. Praise the Lord. How do people see me? What is it that I'm maybe prioritizing that somebody feels that I can date you with the kind of personality that I have. So you find that you are a believer who loves the Lord. On your status, we can't see anything about your Christianity. It's just a status. It's not just a status. You are communicating something, because when we see what you are saying, then we know this is the kind of person that you are. Sometimes I look, I just don't comment. You see people posting, oh, men are like this, men are like that. And then you see people posting sneaky whatevers. I don't even know what a sneaky whatever is. And I'm there like, what? What is going on? Why are believers doing these kinds of things? What's a sneaky whatever? I don't even know what the word is. What is it? You guys know, type it out for me. A sneaky link. Okay, I don't know what a sneaky link is, to be honest. I don't know what it is. But you find on your status, maybe even the way you dress, we can see your nakedness. And somehow you're supposed to attract a man who loves the Lord. It's not adding up. I'm not attacking anybody, but I'm telling you, look, yeah, and IBS, I'll never lie to you. This kind of Christianity where we can do anything we want, oh, it's my body, I can do anything I want, I can dress anyhow. No, not in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has no democracy. You don't say, I can do this, this one I can't do. When the Bible says you don't do this, you don't do that. We've seen everything. Like your body's not a mystery. So even some people, when they get married, their husband is not the first to see certain things because they expose everywhere. We've all seen that. Oh, there's the belly button. We've seen it. We've interacted with the belly button because I want to wear a crop top. Praise the Lord. Hey man, if you're offended, I'm not scared of you. Come text me, you offended me, and I'll respond. I'm teaching the word. Praise the Lord. So why is it that you're attracting the same kind of people? Amen. Maybe it's your statuses. Maybe it's what you put out. Maybe it's how you talk. Maybe you flirt also in the name of being nice. Amen. So men ought to teach the word of God, and you need to have people who can teach you, who can guide you. Look, I'll tell you something, yeah? I'll tell you something. Looks cannot sustain a relationship. There are times when there are issues that need to be resolved through spiritual means. But if the person that you're seeing, number one, doesn't even like going to church, they don't want to pray, they don't want to study the word of God, you're the one who's forcing them. That relationship has. Amen. Yeah, it's a problem because how come? God, you should get to a place where you can go beyond, what's the word? You can go beyond physicality. Amen. Yeah. You can go beyond physicality. Like for you, you're not moved by how good a guy looks. You're not moved by that. Can you teach me the word of God? Can you help me discover my purpose? Praise the Lord. Can you help me become more than what I already am? Because you know what will happen if you're dating men who are not spiritual or men who cannot accommodate your spirituality? They're going to be intimidated by you. That's number one. And then you discover that maybe in the relationship, you're actually mentoring the guy. Amen. He should have a level of spirituality. Otherwise, that relationship cannot reflect the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Number two, a cultivator. How many of us have ever studied agriculture? If you have, I have. Or you understand agriculture a bit to a certain degree. Anybody? Nobody has done agriculture. I know people who are literally in the field. Where's Miss Winnie? Okay, Lois has, right? Okay. So to cultivate, there we go. I was waiting for Miss Winnie. To cultivate, before I mention the scripture, cultivation has something to do with making something better. Praise the Lord. Making something more. Amen. To make it grow, to make it produce, to make it better. So the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work. The word is what? To work. And that is to cultivate. So when God placed Adam in that spot, he wanted it to work it, to make it better, to improve it. Praise the Lord. So, in the relationship that you are dating, how have you improved since dating the man that you are dating? And listen, you need to ask yourself these difficult questions, eh? It's a serious question. And then, as gentlemen, how are we helping the sisters? By the way, I did mention that this is not just about dating, it's about every person that you meet. How are you helping the people that God has placed in your care? Praise the Lord. So, the nature of the work of the man was given to do with cultivation, to grow, to produce a greater yield. Praise the Lord. So, your purpose as a man is to cultivate everything that God places in you. This is why when a father gives you that daughter, and you get the lady gets your name. The man is saying that, look, I was responsible for my daughter up to this stage. I'm now shifting that responsibility to you. So you're gonna have to take care of her, be responsible for her emotional well-being, her mental well-being, her spiritual well-being, her physical well-being. Praise the Lord. But if men are sleeping with sisters, they are not cultivating, they are destroying. They're making her worse. They're reducing the value on that person because all I see is an object of sex. That's why, as a sister, never allow a man to touch you inappropriately. Like you've allowed a man to sleep with you. No. No. No, it is not okay. Can I tell you something that maybe you may not know? When it comes to sexuality, it's different for both men and women. For women, there's a lot of emotionality attached to it. It's an expression of love and affection. But for a man, however, it's not necessarily an expression of love. It's a need. The man is the progenitor, so he's the one who gives out the seed. So a man always ready. It's a need. So it's easy for him to actually sleep with so many people and not even feel any level of attachment to them. This is why sometimes when you're in a relationship and the guy sleeps with you, the relationship changes. Now he's cold towards you. He doesn't like you, or he runs away. So I'm explaining why such things happen, eh? Because he wanted to satisfy his craving and his desire. So now that has been satisfied, he's okay. So now he can move on. But there you are, as a sister who's maybe experienced that, there, oh my God, I love this person, and you're attached, but the man has gone. Praise the Lord. In the Bible, there was a man called Amnon. He slept with his sister, stepsister, Tamar. The Bible says he loved her. And then he calls, pretends to be sick, and says, look, this is what I want. And the sister says, you can't do this. It's not okay. Why don't you tell our father David, and so that you can do things in the right way? Praise the Lord. The Bible says he forced himself on the lady. And after he did what he wanted, he satisfied his need. The Bible says he hated her more than the love that he had. Do you see? If we can read the Bible more, you can see that there's nothing new under the sun. People respond the same way, people act the same way. So, as gentlemen, as sisters who are believers, if you want to sustain and better your relationship, do not have sexual activities in that relationship as long as you are not married. Marriage is the only parameter that God has allowed for sexual activities to flourish. Beyond marriage, there's disaster. There's chaos. I'll give an example. Water can be very good and amazing, but the same water can be destructive if there are no parameters. So, you know what man did? Man decided, let's make a dam. and will contain the water so that, in as much as it can destroy us, if we put it in a dam, there's a parameter so the water becomes useful and we can use it to produce electricity. But the minute you break down the dam and you see the pressure of the water, it can kill somebody. Same thing with sex. The parameter is marriage. So beyond marriage, it's destructive. There's a lot of guilt. You can't move on. There's an attachment. So now you find that this sister can never move on because one man slept with them. So life is now stagnant. Praise the Lord. So a man is meant to cultivate you, not to rob you, not to destroy you, not to steal from you. Do you know what the Bible says about do you know what the Bible is showing us there? That Jesus, even when he comes into our lives, he uses the right ways. He says the thief comes through the window. So if a man is sleeping with you and you're not married, he's stealing. He's not coming through the right channels. The right channel is marriage. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind. So if he says he loves you, he ought to be patient, he ought to be kind. He's expressing scripturally, there's no love there because I have a desire, I must satisfy it, I must do whatever I want until it is satisfied. It is selfishness. And in a relationship, you ought to be selfless. Praise the Lord. Am I helping somebody? And look, even as I'm teaching, if you've been in this situation, look, I'm not condemning you. I'm helping you because I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. Do you know how sin works, eh? If you don't confront a sin, you continue sinning. I'm telling you the truth. This is why you need to have such conversations. You need to be in such meetings so that if you've been there before or there's been a temptation in that area, you are confronting it and you are learning how to overcome. If you don't learn to confront that sin, you keep doing it and keep going in the same way. This is how come sometimes you find that a couple who really love the Lord, they keep doing the same wrong thing because they refuse to confront those issues and they're just saying, oh, we're going to repent, we'll be fine. But they refuse to have certain conversations. Praise the Lord. Yeah. How do you confront sin? By speaking the word of God and speaking the truth. I'll give an example. So, for instance, you are, because we're talking about relationships, and I want to tell you something very honestly. When you are dating, the potential to sleep around is very high. I tell you something, very high. So, how do you confront it? Learn what the word of God says about that particular issue and accept the word. Don't justify the wrong things. Like, oh no, the Lord understands I have feelings. He understands your feelings, but he's also created parameters. I'll tell you something. God can never demand of you something that he knows you can't do. So when he says walk and be holy, it means he's given the grace that you need. He's given the tools that you need in order for you to walk holy. But sometimes the reason why people fail to walk or live a holy life is because number one, you're adopting worldly views and not biblical views of what the Bible says about sexuality. That's number one. Number two, perhaps you've not had that conversation with your partner. You can never have boundaries that are properly exercised if you're the only one who knows those boundaries. Because in the relationship, there's a two of you. So if you know the boundaries, you set the boundaries, but your partner has no idea. And do you know why sometimes that happens in Christian relationships? Because people assume that everybody knows these things. No, you can't assume. Assumption in a relationship is very dangerous. You need to talk, you need to say these things so that there's clarity, there's direction. If you don't talk about these things, you're going to get shocked. You get shocked that your tongue-speaking boyfriend wants to sleep with you. You'll be very shocked. You'll be like, ah, brother, because maybe you've not had those conversations before. Praise the Lord. Number three, what you expose yourself to. Who are you following on social media? What movies are you watching? Yeah, what movies are you watching? What are you exposing your mind to? Because sometimes you feel like, oh, it's just a little, There's nothing harmful with what I'm watching. And then before you know it, because of what you're watching, there's a desire. Let me tell you something. Have you ever wanted to eat food? You're full, right? But you pass by a house where they were cooking chicken and the soup is just smelling so good. And all of a sudden you feel like eating. Who's ever been there before? I've been. Like I'm not even hungry. But there's this aroma. Same thing with sexuality. Do you know how you can overcome sexuality? Study a drive. Drives are the same. Sex is a drive like hunger is. So you can be very full. Praise the Lord. And then you just smell this aroma and suddenly you feel like eating. Same thing with sexuality. You're just okay. You're doing fine until you see a certain man. Until you see a certain movie. Until you see a certain thing. A certain, and you know, sometimes these movies, they give you a little clip. Just 30 seconds. There's a lot of kissing there. People are removing, undressing, doing all sorts of things. And then you feel you're okay. We move on. 30 seconds, it's a snippet. But you don't know what you're doing to your soul. You are training your soul to start having unnatural desires and natural cravings beyond what is normal. So you find that even when, of course, it's normal to have a craving and a desire, because of your exposure, it now becomes unnatural because this is what you're exposing yourself to. Every time I just want to do one or two things. Like, all the time, really, what's going on? Praise the Lord. And then I just want to say, the more people sin, the more you open doors for the enemy. Do you know what the Bible says? It says, do not give the enemy a foothold. The enemy doesn't care about you. The devil doesn't think, oh, this person has been through so much. So the minute you open the window of sexuality, in this relationship, I must sleep with them. In this relationship, I must sleep with them. You are opening a door. So, do you know what that means? It means that you now start having unnatural cravings beyond your control because a door has been opened. Do you know how thieves enter? Thieves can come, but if they find that you've locked up well, they won't be able to enter. But if a thief comes to your house and your door is open, they'll just enter and steal whatever they need to steal. That's how demons work. They just need to find an entry point. An entry point can be exposure. It can even be an exposure to pornography. The minute there's that exposure, you find that for years it's hard to overcome. Each time somebody just sees a little thigh, just knee level, they're all gone because they've been exposed to pornography. Do you see? So don't train your heart to have unusual cravings because of what you're exposing yourself to. Amen. This is why the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. What am I exposing myself to? What kind of conversations am I exposing myself to? What kind of friendships do I have? Do they respect the sanctity of marriage? Do they respect the sanctity of godly relationships? The person you want to date, do they respect the sanctity of a godly relationship? These are things to ask because if they don't respect that, you're gonna keep having challenges. Praise the Lord. So I hope I'm helping somebody because if you never knew, Christians are having sex. Oh, I'm telling you. Do you see? And because people are afraid to talk about these things, if you don't talk about them, sin will continue to flourish. But here we talk about these things and address them and say, look, cultivation is to make somebody better, to improve them. So if a lady comes with low self-esteem, amen, they should live confident in your presence. And you can practice with your sisters. Praise the Lord, as gentlemen. And as sisters who are looking for somebody, they should be able to build you. They can encourage you tonight, and it will be well. Amen. But now imagine in a relationship with somebody who cannot handle that. It's a problem, right? It's a problem. Let's move on. By the way, this year we're going to talk about sexuality. The whole month, it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about it. We're going to talk about the dangers of fornication. physical dangers and spiritual dangers. We're going to talk about lust. I'm so excited. Praise the Lord. There's going to be a lot of healing and restoration in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Another thing you learn about being a man is a provider. I'm sure we knew this one, right? So Genesis 2, verse 2 to 3, the Bible say, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God was working when he was creating the world. Praise the Lord. And he still works to carry out his purposes. Look at what the Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, it is God. Do you notice something from the Bible? It says, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Oh, so this means that God can take charge of your sexuality if you allow him. God can take charge of your emotions if you allow him. God can take charge of everything. You see, God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not a boss. He doesn't just come in. You have to invite him. This is why the emblem of the Holy Spirit is a dove. A dove is very gentle. Praise the Lord. Very gentle. He doesn't force himself. So if you close your life up to him, he will leave you. Do you? Oh, this is something called the will. That's why you have to align your will to God's will. Because if you allow yourself to just be, you know, about, oh, my will, this is what I ought to do. Is it what God wants you to actually do? Because sometimes people are doing things that God hasn't told them to do. And then they are wondering why there's a lot of frustration and pain. When God calls you to do something, there's a lot of rest. There's peace. Praise the Lord. So it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Amen. Because you are made in the image of God, you are designed to work. Work is not something that was given because of the curse. Praise the Lord, because you notice before sin comes in Genesis chapter 3, I don't know why. This is why I advise people to become leaders. But you see, when we're asking you to be a leader, oh no, I don't want responsibilities. So you're basically saying that you don't want to grow your potential. We can never know. We can never know what's in Jacqueline's life until work is demanded of her. The other time, I was asking leaders to send me the objectives, right? For how they'll be doing things. So there's one new leader. I told her, I want you to send me objectives. So I was reading. She sent me a whole document and I was like, okay, I love this because I love organization. If you've never known, I like things to be organized, not things are disorganized. No, I like proper organizations. We know what we are doing, right? So she sends this document and I'm looking at the strategies and I'm like, beautiful. This is somebody who has a vision. This is somebody who loves their work. This is somebody who's going to be doing it. And so the minute that we're having conversation, I see that, oh, we've chosen the right person for this work. So work exposes your potential. But if you're running away from work, running away from certain responsibilities, we'll never know what you can become. You see, don't run away from responsibilities. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. You can do it. Praise the Lord. So you cannot show what's inside unless demands are made of it. Unless demands are made of it. Praise the Lord. I can never know that within me there's ability to run an organization until I begin to run it. And then you graduate, you're responsible for another thing, and then you graduate. And then you're responsible for yet another thing. Praise the Lord. But if we are running away, you can't do it. Amen. So God gave the male work because it exposes his potential and allows him to reflect God's nature. Remember, God was working and is still working. Amen. So provide comes from the word meaning to see ahead. This is why a male has to be a visionary. A visionary. Praise the Lord. You're able to see before you can even accomplish it. In IBS, those who work closely with me usually know that I plan ahead. Yeah, I do. What I'm teaching today, I plan for this last year. Praise the Lord. And some of the things that I'm teaching, these are things that I learned years ago, and I've just been waiting for the opportunity. Hallelujah. Amen. So work allows you, it allows you to expose your potential. So what is it that God has placed in you until you begin to work, we'll never know. Amen. Look at it in the Bible. The only to know about Moses is big problem he need. And the cry, Lord, heard all the there are signs, this plague, there's that, all that was deposited within Moses. Nobody. But because work praise the Lord. This is the last point for tonight, actually. And we can just finish the meeting. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Are you able to hear me? Just so that I confirm that everybody, can hear me tonight. Praise the Lord. Are you able to hear me? You can. Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, so the last one for tonight is that a man is meant to protect you. Amen. A man is meant to protect you. The man should protect who you are, protect your emotions, protect you in everything that you do. Praise the Lord. That's a man. So look at what the Bible says, Genesis 2, verse 15. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to take care of it. So Adam was meant to protect everything that was in Eden, including Eve. So this man, does he protect you? Amen. Yeah, so the man is meant to protect everything. This is a man is a natural protector, eh? That's why you notice those of you who grew up with older brothers. The minute a guy just tried to make a move on you, and your big brother comes, then we know there's danger, and you feel so secure and safe, like my big brother is here, you know? Or for all of us who, you know, your dad comes and there's somebody who's bothering you, and you're just saying, oh, wait until I tell my dad. And your dad comes, and finally, you just feel so safe. Praise the Lord. So you're meant to feel safe in the arms of a man. Praise the Lord. I want us to take some time to pray over men. Amen. Yeah, it's 8 p.m. right now. I want us to spend 5 minutes. I want us to pray some prayers for the men. You can pray for the men in your life, but I want you to pray for the men in IBS as well. Praise the Lord. Yes, I want you to pray, spend some time to pray over the men. There are some few prayer points that I've designed here. Amen. Number one, we're going to pray for the work of man. So we're going to move through this very quickly. Praise the Lord. Yeah, very quickly. And then next month, we're going to have a meeting where we can pray about these things as gentlemen alone. And then the sisters are also going to have their own thing going on. So number one, where you are, I want you to pray over the man's work, whether dating, those in IBS, any male in your family. You see, for the man, work is sometimes attached to his identity. This is why when a man has no work, and I'm not talking about a job, I'm talking about work. So work can also be in a ministry, whatever. Usually a man is attached to his work. So the minute the man has no work, it's almost like he has no identity. If you've never known, I'm telling you. So I want you to pray over the work of men for those in IBS. And then, if you're in a relationship, pray this over your partner. And pray this over your brothers. Pray this over your parents. Pray this over your nephews. Whoever you have who's a male in your family, I want you to pray. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 29, it says, do you see someone skilled in their work? It says, they will serve before kings, they will not serve before officials of low rank. So we're going to pray that men fulfill their calling, their assignments, and the vision God has given them. Men in IBS and all the men that represent begin to pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, pray, oh God, for men in Jesus' name. Men in IBS and all the men that we represent in Jesus' name. We pray that they fulfill their calling. We pray they fulfill their assignments. We pray they fulfill the vision that you've given them in Jesus' name. We don't have men, oh God, who have no vision. We don't have men, oh God, who have no purpose. We, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's move on to the next one. So going through these very quickly. Pray over his finances. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes. But when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy, accept their lot and be happy in that toil, this is the gift of God. Having money is God's gift to us. Nobody should be broke. Nobody should be poor. Nobody should be in poverty. So we're going to pray for God's will concerning the finances of men. Begin to pray in Jesus' name, even as we raise our holy hands before you. Lord, we pray for the men in IBS. That Lord, let your will be done in their finances in Jesus' name. We pray for all the men that we represent. Let your will be done in their finances. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Number three is sexuality. Very important. I made a mention for a need, a primary need. You've never known sisters. If you're for marriage, I think. I'm sure you get closer to it in your meetings. The Lord's way to help you know how to function in the relationship. Praise the Lord. So I mentioned in the promise quarterly. Praise the Lord. So we are on sexuality. So pray for the men in IBS and pray for the men in your lives. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 13, the Bible says, food's for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the and the Lord for the body. So we're going to pray that men know how to contain their vessels with regard to their sexuality. Praise the Lord. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, we pray for all the men in IBS and all the men we represent. Lord, you teach them how to contain their vessels with regards to sexuality. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray. Amen and amen. Number four, let's move on real quick. His affection. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3, it says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Affection is a need in women. Gentlemen, if you've never known, affection is a need in women. This is what we're going to learn about even next week. Praise the Lord. So we're going to pray that men learn how to be affectionate towards that relationships in a relationship with. Praise the Lord. Begin to pray. We pray for all IBS men and all the men represent. Father Lord, men learn how to be affectionate towards their wives. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray. Amen. Let's move on. Number five, his temptations. Oh, we love this. His temptations. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 20, it says, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. We're going to pray that men learn to resist any temptation that comes their way. You see, lust sometimes is more dominant in men. Why? Because for a man, what appeals to a man is the visuals, what he sees. So when he sees somebody he likes, This is how come. When David woke up and he saw that sister bathing, we know what happened afterwards, isn't it? He saw, and after he saw, he couldn't be satisfied until he had to have her. So now the Bible says, he tells the people, bring that lady. And we know how the story goes, isn't it? So this is how to pray. So if you're in a relationship, this is how to pray for your man. Not all the time, hey, men are like this. Are you praying for him? So pray that men learn to resist any temptation that comes away. Begin to pray. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray for IBS men and all the men that we represent. In the name of Jesus, you give the wisdom necessary for their unique situations. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. I'm not giving this to anybody. I'm not giving my notes to anybody, by the way. I take too much time presenting this. Next month, I'll give you. Number six, his mind. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Pray that men have the mind of Christ that guards against depression, bitterness, anger, fear, rejection, hopelessness, and loneliness. If you've never known, men are more prone to suicide than women. Men are more prone to mental issues than women. Because women have learned how to overcome even in a lot of adverse condition. But for men, that's very lacking. Praise the Lord. So we're going to pray for the minds of men. that they have a sound mind. Begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray for all IBS men. They have sound minds. And all the men that we represent, in the mighty name of Jesus, their minds, they have the minds of Christ, which are guarded against depression, loneliness, hopelessness, and everything that is negative. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So there are 10, four more left. Number seven, his fears. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So we're going to rebuke tormenting fears in the lives of men, rebuke fears that cripple men. Fear is a spirit. That's why the Bible says you've not been given the spirit of fear. It's a spirit. And it can cripple you so much that you're unable to actually move in your life because there's a fear. This is why some people are single, because they're so afraid that if they commit to somebody, the relationship, the investment might not be worth it. Praise the Lord. Begin to pray. In Jesus' name, we rebuke tormenting fears and fears that cripple men in IBS and all the men that we represent. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray that delivered. Amen. Number eight, let's move on. This is beautiful, yeah? So, men, next month, we're going to talk about these things in depth. Number eight, his purpose. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, he says, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk." And so I ordain in all churches realize who they are in Christ and help them have certainty for a high purpose. In Jesus' name, we pray for IBS men that they walk in purpose, they walk in their calling, and all the men that we represent. In Jesus' name, oh God, we pray, amen. It is so. Number nine, let's move on. We're almost done. This is beautiful. His choices. Men need to make the right choices. Proverbs 3, verse 7 in the NIV, it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Pray and ask the Lord to give men the wisdom they need for every decision they make." In Jesus' name, we pray for IBS men and all the men that we represent. They have wisdom to make the right choices. In Jesus' name of God, we pray. Amen and amen. And finally, for tonight, his health. The Bible says in 2 Kings 20, verse 5, it says, "Return and tell Hezekiah, leader of my people, thus says the Lord David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord." So we're going to pray for the health of men so that our body work in the way it was designed. In the name of Jesus, we pray for IBS men and all the men that we represent. In Jesus' name, they walk in health. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, of God, we pray. Amen and amen. Father, Lord, I pray for every voice. Lord, you give them the wisdom to do relationships well. There's godliness in these relationships. Lord, if there's anybody who's listened to me who's been struggling in that purity, in that relationship, I pray that you give them the grace, Almighty God, to walk worthy of that calling. I pray that you give them the grace they need, oh God, in order to fulfill your will in the relationship, in the mighty name of Jesus. Each one of us, oh God, in this meeting, we walk godly in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, we allow no room for the enemy to destroy us. We allow no room for the enemy, Almighty God, to use us. But Lord, these vessels are yours. Our bodies are yours. Our bodies are sanctified for you. Our bodies are consecrated for you. In Jesus' name, oh God, we bless your name and we thank you, Father. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Tomorrow we will be praying. I would love for you to all come. We're praying over needs. So I want you to come. Please do come because we're going to spend some beautiful time praying effectively. Praise the Lord. We've come to the end of the meeting.